I've found in corporate training that many times in working with people on processes, it's usually not the what that they have a problem with, it's the why. And so I would say we've got that here. We know when something's hindering me, but is there something greater? Is there a why that, and that's what we have here, that I may please him? The why is that I might please him who's chosen me to be a soldier. And so that then helps me to identify, is there something that's right for maybe lots of other people, but it's not helping me to get on with the Lord because I have this object before me. I have this, what did you say were the three things that ISIS used to attract the people? A mission.
He gives them identity, he gives them a mission or a purpose or life, and he gives them camaraderie.
Yeah. And so we have that here. And so there are those things that might hinder me from enjoying those things in the Lord. And so I set them aside. And so that's the choice that we must make.
I'm thankful you brought this, Brother David, because it's very important. I certainly don't see any sin in the affairs of life.
Right.
But it's the word entanglement that we need to understand.
Yeah.
It's like a net. You get entangled with it, and you are caught in it where you are not able to move anymore. And in warfare, you have to have 100% focus of what's taking place. Or the result of it is not that you only lose the battle, but you'll affect your other fellow soldier as well. And the entanglement of this kind is exactly what you said. Legitimate things. Let me give a scriptural example with the same thing. You reminded us of Levi. When the Lord told Levi, follow me, it says he left all and followed him. But that was never the case in every call that the Lord made. He made few more calls, follow me. For example, he called someone, follow me. He says, okay, let me go bury my father. And the Lord says, let the dead bury the dead. So legitimate thing, right? It's burying my father. But sometimes these legitimate things that is going to hinder Christ and hinder the interest of Christ in the warfare, then you know what? It's going to hinder and it's going to pull us backward rather than fulfilling and pleasing the one that enlisted us. So let's be careful. Legitimate things are good. But if they're going to start taking away from Christ, then they need to be judged. Because weakness and legitimate things, if they are not judged, they are good by themselves, but if they are not judged, it would lead to sin. But I like the question you presented.
One of the things that we need to come out of a Bible study, because I am sure as you hear teaching going on, and I'm hoping that you're still awake, because I know lunch was really good, and a lot of kind of meats and everything, so if the person sitting next to you kind of close their eyes, just kind of go like this. Chris is not up. But just make sure that you are paying attention to what is being said, because it's really, really important. And in your mind as you're hearing these things, probably a practical question comes to you. So what do you mean exactly entanglement? You know, it's the net that is in the way that's going to help, you know, kind of hinder me from running. Let's just say something. How many of you here like to watch football or baseball or sports? Don't be shy. I watch it. I have no clue what they're doing. But one of these days I'll figure it out. What happens Saturday night when there is a game late at night? It's a legitimate thing. I mean, watching a football, I'm just using that as an illustration. It could be other things. So I watch the game till 11 o'clock. Sometimes you go overtime or whatever, something that I like. And my body requires some hours of sleep. It's just the way it is. Because there are rules for life. There are rules for discipleship. It just, that's the way it is. Christianity is not a chaotic life. There is rules and there are principles, guiding principles to help you out. So you stay till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, watch the game. Enjoyed the game very much. It was wonderful. Tomorrow is the Lord's Day. And you're really tired. You woke up, your mind is not there. All what's going on in your brain is really what you watch. Whether it be a game or a movie or something that you just stay late and watch. Or your brain, the last thing, the images that lift in your brain is what you watch. So you woke, if you dreamed at night, it was going to be the same thing. You wake up in the morning and you are really exhausted, tired. Shower, get dressed, put your tie on, go to the meeting, or dress on if you're a sister, go to the meeting, and you're not there. You're so mad at that quarterback because he got sacked, or you're mad at whatever, that movie, whatever. Your mind is not there. And that is just natural. That is exactly what happened. You cannot overcome it. You got yourself entangled. And as a result of that, you know what? Satan is just having a day because you are on the Lord's Day in the meeting. You are so weak, you are out of it, and you are impacting everybody around you also, because it does impact everybody if I'm not in the right spiritual state. That's just an example. Another example. If you are spending all your life and your time, or all the, whatever free time you have, injecting all kind of stuff in your mind, that's how your mind will be operating. You watch how the people of the world are operating and you think, this is the model of life that I want to follow. You got to train your appetite. You got to train yourself. Listen, there are a lot of things that are really in themselves. God created them for us to enjoy. Sports are wonderful. Bodily exercise profits little. There's nothing wrong with this. Learning and training and all of that stuff is becoming a Christian. But you got to train your appetite. That's what Daniel exactly did. There was nothing wrong with the food of the king. Everybody around him ate. Everybody. They were enjoying. But what the king was trying to do is to try to implant in their mind a lifestyle that is contrary to what they have been learning. And he doesn't that by saying, okay, come, now I'm going to make you a heathen. Satan will never come to you and say, listen, let me unchristianize you. He'll never do that. But he said, oh, watch this, do that. And we have something in us that yearn for these things. So you start eating that stuff. You're contaminated. You're weakened. You are adapting to every style of life. And then you wonder, I don't have spiritual power. I open my Bible, it's hard, I don't understand it. My head hurts when I read it. My mind is not there. That's, you know why? You did that yourself. Because you were entangled with legitimate things. Things that have taken your time and your energy. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is Christ. And in every aspect of our life, we need to operate with that principle. It is not, I think, these two young men here, not young anymore, Joe and Ben, were talking after and say something about the matter. It is not a matter of making a list and check off that I give Christ his 2 hours of prayer and then now I'm going to have my own 2 hours. No. Christ is everything. And the way I watch the game, the way I work, the way I study, it is controlled by the principle of Christianity. So that is really what it is. And what we need to do now is to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and to look at what we have in regard to the equipment. Because, you see, Christ doesn't give you, tell you to be a soldier and doesn't give you equipment. You know, it would be a sad thing if the U.S. military told you, go to Afghanistan and didn't give you any equipment. Or give you the wrong equipment. They will test these equipment. That's why any piece of equipment in the military costs a lot of money. Because they test them and test them and test them and test them to make sure that they work. So now what we have is not an armor that was not tried. We have the armors of God. You got, that's a top notch. Past all of the quality assurance, quality control, spec and everything. It is not 99.9999 good. It's 100% good and effective all the time. All the time. And that's what you have in Ephesians chapter 6. And what he say, and Michael, you mentioned earlier that the verses in regard to God had not given us the spirit of failure, but the spirit of power. Power is something that man is craving after. Three things. I want you to have it engraved in your head. Three things that men are going after. Power, knowledge, and love. Every man in the world, woman, every human being, wants power, knowledge, and love. Maybe one more than the other. But that's the three things that people are going for. Poor people are seeking always for love. They look at it in the wrong place. Power. And when they are given, they are brutal. And knowledge. And they think they are the best thing ever happened to the world. God given us the same thing. He gave us power. He gave us knowledge. He gave us love. It's all in Christ. Pure, perfect, works all the time. Now we're going to talk about power because we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and I'll be quiet and I'll give time for other brothers and young people. And he said in verse 10, finally, having gone through the 5.5 chapters in Ephesians, he said, now, finally, you are in the heavenly places. But by the way, this is not a place where you kind of sit on your recliner. It's a warfare, man. It's a battle. And you are not battling with just some insurgent. This is nuclear power, insurgent power, bombs, everything. Everything you could think of is there. But I'm equipping you. And maybe for the next few minutes, we're going to start talking about the equipment that is given to us. Let's just get a little bit of understanding. You have to know your arms, how to handle them, and how to use them. And whatever we do not finish this afternoon, we'll finish, Lord willing, tonight.